This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. And we're streaming live all across the country on the free Odyssey app where you can take us on the go. You can also watch us on the Monumental Sports Network coming up in 20 minutes. It's going to give you a chance to win some tickets to go see Metallica. I've prepped a game. Who said that?
Okay, good.
So that's coming up in 20 minutes. But right now, we're going to talk some Cleveland Browns. Maybe sprinkle in some Cavs with Daryl Ryder, who covers the Browns.
Yes, sir.
For 92.3 in Cleveland. What's up, Daryl?
I might have to charge extra if you want to talk some Cavs after watching that disaster last night.
What was the halftime score? You can just get that out of the way. I mean, it was like 80-40, something like that.
80-39.
39, yeah. You gave them an extra point.
Wow. Wow, that's just brutal.
They could have doubled their score in the third quarter, and still be losing in the game. Yeah, it was that. I've seen a lot of ugly games in all three sports over my years here in Cleveland. Last night that was an all timer for the Cavaliers. So congratulations to them.
Are you gonna personally bring some ice to Donovan Mitchell's ankle? Because if that doesn't get better,
help him out.
No, but they better call Mr. Miyagi because their season is potentially going to be over tomorrow night. And there's going to have to be some tough conversations about the future of this team. They built a real nice regular season team, but this would be the third straight year that they basically get punked and dominated in an elimination playoff series. The Knicks did it to them 3 years ago, which started off that soft narrative, beat him in five games. Last year against Boston, they didn't have Jared Allen. They had a couple of guys that weren't 100% for that series. So you could say, well, they weren't 100% and injuries, whatnot. But the Celtics, punked them. And then this series, not 100%, but it took until game four with all the extracurriculars that the Indiana Pacers were up to, shoving guys midair. You know, DeAndre Hunter dislocated his thumb on one of those plays in game one. Evan Mobley suffered an ankle injury in game one. Kenny Atkinson, the head coach, was furious about that, felt that the Pacers had crossed the line, didn't want to criticize the officiating, didn't want to call the Pacers dirty. But there have been a lot of extracurriculars, and Hunter got punched in the gut, and he finally, reacted with that shove that probably should have gotten him thrown out of that game. But this team does not react well or respond well to physical play. And that is a major, major problem if you want to consider yourself to be an NBA championship contender.
Well, do you feel like they would be leading the series if they had Mobley, Garland, and Hunter healthy from the start?
I do. Yeah. And what's maddening and frustrating is that game two loss, they were up seven with a minute to play,
right,
and they blew that lead. The Pacers did to the Cavaliers what they did when they eliminated the Milwaukee Bucks, right? They, you know, coming from behind in the final minute there, it went in the game. But they blew that one, even without having those guys on the floor. You know, Donovan Mitchell, all-time 48-point performance, spectacular, LeBron-esque type of a performance, and it just absolutely got wasted. For me, if they lose this series, it's that game two loss is what I'm going to point to as the turning point with the season going south. Sure, didn't help that, you know, Evan Mobley got hurt and DeAndre Hunter got hurt and Darius Garland had been hurt and now Donovan Mitchell's hurt. Yes, you can point to injuries. The bottom line is they don't match the physical intensity of their opponents in the postseason. That's been the narrative or the rub on them for 3 years now, and they're doing nothing to dispel that notion.
All right, let's switch gears. Let's talk about the Browns. And from your perspective, take us back to sort of a draft weekend and when all this went down, Shador was dropping, everybody was wondering where he was going to end up. And of all places, Cleveland, where they had taken a quarterback earlier, what was their rationale at the time for taking both those guys?
Why not? They don't have a franchise quarterback. Why not?
Just keep swinging.
Keep swinging. Yep. They had Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco in the quarterback room, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was not a secret that they were going to draft a quarterback. And I'll be honest with you, I was not surprised they drafted two quarterbacks. And the fact that Shador fell to day three, round five, 144 overall. And then the Browns mercifully made that trade with the Philadelphia Eagles to go get him. I felt like that was a why not move. Well, he's there. We got two picks. We really don't care about. Why not? Let's just go get the kid and see if there's a little something there. What I didn't get was them drafting Dylan Gabriel at the time. That was a puzzling move. That was one of four what just happened moments that happened in the draft. The first was when they traded out and gave up Travis Hunter to slide back and draft Mason Graham, fifth overall, which, by the way, loved the pick. The second was when they went with a linebacker right out of the gate, 33rd overall. The third was the Gabriel selection that I just mentioned. And obviously the fourth was we were in the middle of an introductory press conference from the day two guys when they went ahead and made the trade and got Shador Sanders. And let me tell you, that was the fastest I've ever seen a press conference wrap up ever.
Wow. Why did they kind of give up on the notion? Is it just because they got so much compensation from Jacksonville to give up on Hunter? Was there any indication that they didn't want him?
I think they got the offer they couldn't refuse. They got they got Jacksonville's first round pick next year, and we're going to basically spend up here in Cleveland the entire season rooting against the Jaguars so that pick is even better, right? I can't criticize them for doing something that I said coming off of the season that they had, right, that saw them win just three games. I said, hey, go ahead and trade that second overall pick and try and get yourself a 2026 first rounder so you can position yourself to go get one of the quarterbacks in that class, because I'm making an educated guess the quarterbacks available are going to be much better than what is available this year. And so, they take two stabs with Gabriel and Sanders. We'll see how that all plays out this year. And if it works out, great. And if it doesn't work out, yeah, whatever. They've got two first rounders next year in their 2027 first rounder. They don't have to lose their way into the first overall pick. They've got the ammunition they need to go ahead and just trade for it.
Talking to Daryl Ryder from 92.3 in Cleveland. You can follow him on X at Ryder Wrong FAN. Ryder spelled R-U-I-T-E-R. You have B-roll of both Sanders and Gabriel. What was your takeaway? Because I got to be honest, the video coverage you have, which has about 6 to 8 throws from each of the guys, Sanders looks better. My opinion.
Both guys very accurate. I think Dylan Gabriel just a smidge more polished.
Okay,
he throws a tighter spiral than Shador does. That's for sure. But I got it. Like when I watched Dylan Gabriel this weekend, I'm like, okay, I understand it. I'm taller than the kid is, but I get it. He looked pretty polished out there. The ball looked good coming out of his hands on time, on target. And then you watch Shadur, and there's a little flutter in some of his throws, but they get where they need to be when they're supposed to be there. So
it's he had more long bombs, too, it seemed.
Yeah. Well, it seems like they tried to stretch the arm out a little more for him than they did with Dylan Gabriel in some of the plays that were called or executed or whatever. And it's rookie camp, right? Like, it's hard. Kevin Stefanski basically got to run a legit mini camp. They did 11-on-11. He brought in a ton of tryout guys. They had 7 draft picks, 13 undrafted free agents, and it felt like they brought in like 30 tryout kids so that he could put a full offense and defense on the field and run legitimate 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 work. And the reps were equal right down the middle. Yes, Dylan Gabriel was first up, but you know, he would take 8 7-on-7 reps, and then Shadur would come in and he'd get his 8 7-on-7s. And they did the same thing with the 11-on-11. So it was divided equally. I can't sit here and say one of these kids has an advantage over the other, because I just don't think that's fair after a rookie minicamp. But what I can say is, after watching both of them, I get why both of them are in Cleveland right now.
What do you make of Shadur from a personality standpoint? A lot of people are questioning, I mean, did he drop because of Deion? Did he drop because he was just horrible in these interviews? When I see him from afar, he actually does seem kind of like a big kid. Like, he's almost like an immaturity level there, I think.
Well, I don't know if it's an immaturity level. One of the first things he did, and for some reason, I never knew, like, going to talk to high school kids was, like, controversial.
Yeah.
But there was a media member up here that made it a controversy. I never got a press release saying, hey, in high school, actually, it was, like, you know, 5 blocks from my house that he wanted to talk to these kids. So I could have just walked down there. Never got a press release that he was doing this. I'll be honest with you. He came across as a big kid is fair, but I don't think that that's a negative.
Okay.
He just seems like he's just a real nice kid.
Yeah.
Who enjoys life. He understands the environment that he's in, right? His dad, he talked about that on Saturday, that he knows his dad, a lot of haters out there for him and his dad. He said most of the criticism he gets is from the older folks, which he's a little surprised by, because you would think, you know, I grew up watching Deion Sanders. I don't know about you guys, but I know what his dad brought to the table. But I thought he handled his media availability the other day, his first in-person here in Cleveland. I thought he handled it fairly well. He basically said, hey, I'm not out here to prove the doubters and the haters wrong. I'm out here to prove myself right. And to focus on what I need to do to be the player that the Browns drafted. And I thought that was a real mature comment on his part. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's got cameras to follow him around. Absolutely, I get it. The Browns have posted a bazillion Shadur Sanders videos everywhere on social media. Well, guess what? I did too, right? It's what people – we're feeding the beast, right? We're feeding the content machine. So, yes, he's good at content, and we're going to find out if he's good at professional football.
Daryl, were you surprised the Browns double dipped with running backs? They take Quinshon Judkins in the second round, and then they come back at RB with Dylan Sampson out of Tennessee in the fourth round. Nick Chubb obviously on his way out, so they need to restock that room. Were you surprised 2 picked within the first 4 rounds?
No, I wasn't surprised, but it got my attention. You mentioned Nick Chubb, right? The writing's on the wall. Mm. We had Andrew Berry on our morning show. I believe it was Friday morning, and Barry just basically said it's looking unlikely that the Browns would bring back Nick Chubb at this point. They clearly wanted to get much, much younger in that room. Let's be honest about it. Running back is outside of Saquon Barkley. I'll set that aside because he got a real nice contract with the Philadelphia Eagles. But a lot of teams in the National Football League these days, they like using running backs, but they don't like paying running backs. And also to, you know, Chubb's coming off 2 knee injuries and a foot injury. His second knee injury, I should say, and then a foot injury. So I get the moving on. It's hard to do that when you have a fan favorite. Fans here in Cleveland are not happy that the Browns are, at least right now, not bringing Nick Chubb back. But they're going young with Sampson and Junkins, and I watched both of those guys this weekend. And again, watch them. I get it. They look good running through bags. They look good going through the drills and whatnot. But we'll see what happens when they put the pads on, because I've seen a lot of guys that look good in shorts and shirts and a helmet running through pads.
So, Daryl, what's your last question? What's your prediction? Just your prediction as a fan and as a media member, you know, following this team. What's your prediction? Which quarterback currently on the roster will play? Will start the most games?
I'm going to say Kenny Pickett.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, they got him for nothing from Philadelphia. You know, they got a look at him firsthand, played against him as a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And again, I'm in the why not. There's no expectation that the Browns going to be any good this year. They're not a contender. They're not going to make the playoffs. So you got to see what you have, right? So throw him out there. He's going into his fourth year. You didn't pick up the fifth year of the contract, the option there. See what he's got. Give him a runway of games. If you like what you see, you stick with it. And if you don't like what you see, well, Dylan Gabriel, come on down. And then if you don't like what you see from him, Shedeur Sanders, come on down. And basically, I think they need to use the upcoming season while legitimately trying to win games. I don't think they'll win many, but they'll try. You can get a look at each one of these quarterbacks, get them a sample size of games, and then you can make an informed decision about what you like, don't like, heading into the 2026 NFL
so
draft.
Do they do they keep all four on the active roster? Is that what they'll do?
No. I 2 weeks ago, I was trying to talk myself into some way that they could keep all four guys.
Yeah.
You're not getting Shedeur Sanders through the waiver wire. Let's be honest about it, right? So he has to make the team. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, could they cut Dylan Gabriel and slide him through the waiver wire and put him on the practice squad? And that's how you would keep all four guys. And I'll be honest with you, well, I'm not sold that that is realistic at this point, too. So for me, I think that the logical thing, and thank you, Derek Carr, retiring from the New Orleans Saints over the weekend, is maybe you trade Joe Flacco at some point. Not now, but at some point. Maybe during training camp, maybe at the cutdown deadline at the end of August or something. I just don't think it makes sense, right? If you're trying to find out what you have in some of these young guys, I don't know necessarily it makes sense to keep Joe Flacco, even though he's beloved by fans for the work he did at the end of the 2020 preseason, coming off the couch and helping getting them to the playoffs.
Daryl, good stuff. It's Daryl Ryder from The Fan in Cleveland. Thanks, pal.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep. Thanks, right, man. Thank you, buddy.
Coming up next, your chance to win Metallica tickets. You can call in now at 800-636-1067. We'll play Who Said That next here on The Junkies.